The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
This ain't that kind of show, sister.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslima Reality Radio Show. Sorry.
If you are easily upset, offended, have high blood pressure, a weak stomach, and or no sense of humor, then this is not the show for you. The hosts do not claim to be scholars, sheikhs, or imams. They are simply providing a forum for the sisters. So keep your bit eyes to yourself. Assalamu alaikum. This is Riyadh Abdul-Qayyum, a.k.a. the Black Man, representing Collegiate Records all day, every day. You know I listen to Kalima Abdul-Rashid, the Muslima Reality Show, all day, every day. Hey, hold on, let me take this phone call for a second. Yeah, hello? Assalamu alaikum. Now I'm doing the drop. For Kalima, the Muslim Reality Show. Yeah, nah, it's on right now. That's what I'm telling. Yeah, keep it tuned in, keep it locked. Yeah, Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, that's it. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of sorting out the you from the me, the them from the us, the right from the wrong, upon his noble companions and righteous families, radi Allahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them all, upon us the believers, may Allah forgive us our sins. Amen. Assalamu alaikum, you guys. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. You are listening to Muslim Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360, Community-Wide Shura Conference. I am your host and your sissy, Kaleem Abdur-Rashid, a.k.a. simply Kaleema. Alhamdulillah, you know, I am always grateful to be here, Sharon, and all that which is beneficially and beautifully great, inshallah. May Allah reward us for our intentions. So you guys, we know, for you guys that follow the show, hear me say every Sunday, should you hear any bloops, blunders, misquotes, ebonics, mess ups, illiteracies, any disturbances, you guys, you know this show is live, it is real time, one take, worldwide. Should you hear anything bad and or bitter it comes from, I'm aiming mine, I'm claiming mine. Bad and or bitter comes from me, us, you know what we do. We drop the ball, we fumble, we fallible. But may Allah reward us for our intentions, you guys. This is Muslima Reality. We would love to know what is your reality. Remember, should you like to call in with your questions, your comments, concerns, ayat, hadith, love, salams, complaints, we welcome you. We will keep it moving, inshallah, just the same, okay? So keep your hands up. We'll make dua. The calling number throughout the show is 515-605-9891. Again, 515-605-9891 is the call-in number. The access code is 1. And we definitely thank you in advance. You know we love you guys, definitely for the sake of Allah. And guess what? We have a great show and a great show topic, as always. Our encore guest, inshallah, well-renowned, Abu Muhammad, Brother Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. Sheikh Khaled Yassin. You guys, he is here sharing in our topic, Sissy Issues and After X, a book and a movie, you guys. You guys can definitely, A Son of a Prince, After X, is a book and a movie. You guys definitely call in with your questions, comments, and or concerns. He will give us the intels and the details on that, inshallah, but we definitely welcome you again to call in throughout the show. On the topic, off the topic, do not feel out of topic. We are one family of humanity. You hear me say that? Definitely, we are here for cooperation, not competition. We are here to communicate, propagate, and definitely not up for debate. Okay, so yeah, anyway, what time is it here? It is 5:10. Spring forward, fall back. What's that? Spring forward, fall back. Eastern Standard Time, you guys, whatever. It is 5:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Definitely winding down closer to the end of time, more than and or not. The date is Sunday, March 11th, 2018. It is Jumada 2/24/1439 after Hijrah. It is 65 more days until Ramadan, inshallah. Depending on the sight of the moon, you guys know how we do it. May we reach it. May we have success, inshallah, but definitely may Allah accept it from us, and may we not try to find light loopholes out of the religion or loopholes out of why we shouldn't and or cannot fast. Definitely Allah reward and or based on our intentions. Anyway, the weather here in southern Pennsylvania is always a lovely, sunny and or not. Beautiful high, 50 degrees low, inshallah. Grateful for another opportunity to worship Allah or make the best of our moments, minutes, and all that that's going to benefit us, inshallah. But it's a lovely day here for me. I am grateful, definitely, to be here. You guys, we want you to hold tight. I'm going to take my deep breath in and out. Exhale, inshallah. But you guys know that this is my theme song for those that follow the show. It is called Falling Up. It is by DMD, the Muslima Diva. You guys hear me say it. Those who like it, love it. Those who don't, won't. The rest of you guys, hands up, high to the sky. Assalamu alaikum.
Falling up, better reach up to the sky. joy in this. So thankful for this day. Gotta get on my knees and pray to the Lord above. Show me love, I soar like a dove floating off his grace. It's fresh that I'm resting, I can't complain. See the smiles up on his face. Living life like a queen, I am through with me. So fresh, so fit and free. Yeah, you know you like that. When your man be so strong, all you do is bounce back. Can't hold me down, my feet barely touch the ground. I once was lost, but now I'm found, cause feel like I'm falling up and I can't get up. Cause I'm like no mud and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling up, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get enough. But it ain't so tough that won't nothing get the best of me. Up, got me feeling good, so good, standing taller than they thought I would. Tell them watch this. Negativity is dismissed. Yeah, push it out the door. Spread your wings, take flight so that you can soar. And more, appreciate the little things. There's much beauty that life brings. Don't take it from me, yourself is a lens so you can see how it is to live when your heart is so free. Yeah, you know it's all love. And I say all this just because feel like I'm falling in love and I can't get up. Cause there ain't no mud and it ain't too much for me to make the best of my destiny. Feel like I'm falling in love, yup, I'm so grown up and I can't get it up. But it ain't so tough that won't nothing get the best of me.
Again, may the perfect peace and blessings be upon all of us. Definitely all of us are struggling but striving, holding on. Definitely with the molar teeth, dental floss, whatever you have to do to hold on. May Allah keep us, protect us, have mercy on us, guide us, keep us on that narrow path, inshallah. Again, I want to thank you guys for holding. You are listening to Muslim My Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360, Community-Wide Shura Conference. I am your sister, Kalima. We are here again, sharing in the remembrance of Allah. We know that Allah say those that remember him, he will remember us in a gathering, in a group. Hey, just keep remembering Allah. Inshallah. You guys, we have a great topic, inshallah. Our encore guest, that is, world renowned, Brother Abu Muhammad, aka Sheikh Khaled Yassin, is sharing our topic, Sissy Issue. And after X, Son of a Prince, you guys, definitely tune in. I mean, call in with your questions, your comments, concerns, ayat, hadith, love, salam, definitely, whatever you have. This is a perfect opportunity to get your tafsir on, your explanations on, to any of your questions or any of your concerns that you may have a blur in, inshallah. Definitely been contact with the brother, so hopefully I don't have a winger. So we know a Muslim world is better than cash in hand, and definitely he is not that type of guy, so prayerfully, he will push on and let us in. But you guys, again, we do what we do here. We keep it moving no matter what. Bittersweet, in and out, up and down, pros and cons. We keep it moving. I see Sissy Debbie.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
Oh, I am good, alhamdulillah. How are you? Kalima.
I am fabulous, wonderful, great, a little kind of nervous here. I've been trying to contact my guest, and, you know, he said he'll be here, so I'm just waiting for him to push one on that phone. I'm texting. I've been texting him, you know, texting him. I've been responding.
Texting him.
He will show up. You know,
oh, dear.
Get the 559, and it do what it do. But, hey, you know, everything happened about
it. I hope you all didn't get your wires crossed or something. They got confused with when to come on or something. So.
No.
We
talked. He said he should be here, inshallah. So we're just waiting on our guest, inshallah. We have a wonderful topic. Brother Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. Sheikh Khaled Yassin, have been around a very long time. I've been following him for many years. You know, he has a organization, Purpose of Life Foundation. It is a U.S.-based, not-for-profit community service organization, rather, and it has visited 89 countries. It's facilitated more than 75,000 people to embrace our Islam. That is the ultimate thing. You know, maybe we can change to let our Ummah grow. And it's helped to raise over $15 million for Islamic centers, schools, and global humanitarian projects in the last 30 years. Again, like I say, I've been following this brother for at least 20 years. So I am, you know, always excited to be in this space with the brother to remember Allah. Again, he has has a project going on, Son of a Prince, After X, which is after Malcolm X, and inshallah, it's based on a story of his life. And, you know, will be completed, inshallah, by September 2018. Inshallah, he will give more details and intels on that should he show up. I was definitely looking forward to the brother sharing this topic. I'm texting him as we speak. I know he had engagement yesterday, to be exact. So, inshallah, Brother Abu Muhammad, if you are there, may you please, by all means, push one on that phone, and I will let you in. The calling number is 515-605. I'm putting "we are waiting." That would be so. So we are waiting, inshallah. Should. We have to wing the show. You guys know I will wing the show. I will wing the show. It does what you
do.
Well, man, plot and plan. Allah is the best of planners. So
yes, always.
I'll
keep you company.
I've been embarrassed 1,000 times. I'm good with it. But you know, we keep it moving.
I know.
A Muslim word is better than cash in hand. But you know, I was definitely looking forward.
Well,
but,
you know, maybe something happened, and you know, you never know. Something could have happened.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to keep it moving, you guys. What do you guys want to talk about?
Yes.
And so the brothers show up and or not, but, you know, may Allah reward us for our intentions. But for those that are, you know, take your shahada serious, inshallah, we know that Allah, oh, my goodness, my son. Did I say, should you hear any blue splendors, misquotes, ebonics, mess ups, illiteracies, any disturbances, kids in the background? Because I had an ice cream truck and I had feet, so you know what that means, right? Now, we ain't even get to summer. Some ain't even going on good yet, you know. Oh, I already know him. I know my son. Like, he is right now putting on his clothes. Just be listening out, you guys. He's on his way down these steps because he didn't hear the truck.
Ice
I can hear him. Listen, okay, wait a minute. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes.
Here he comes.
What's going on? Huh? He said ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck.
Where are your finances? Where are your finances and where are your coats? He said he's going to go out and stop the truck. This guy will stop the truck even if he's not going to get ice cream. And maybe we actually stop it for him. I'm like, you got to keep it moving because not every day. Bye, two fingers. Mm-mm. He said he's going to go stop the truck. Okay, so they just see kids. When they see kids, they see money. I say I spend the money. No.
I know. It reminds me of when the truck used to come by in my neighborhood,
hey,
I remember.
Hey, you're doing too much. Stop. Okay? He told me, what do I press? He's trying to take money out now. Stop it, little boy. Go get
a
quarter
right
now.
It's going to be gone. There's only one person.
No one told him to even. He didn't push my cash register. Now it's not even going to come out because it's going to have the Z out. So, yeah. Keep it moving. You did that. You touched my cash register, and now you messed it up. So it's going to take too long to be out. That's what you got to get for not having patience. You know what? I'm going to let him do what he do, and I'm going to keep my show rolling, okay? So, Truck, please be gone. Anyway, you guys,
I remember when popsicles cost 10 cents. That's how old I am.
Yeah, well, they're not costing 10 cents now. You got to definitely have about $3 for.
Oh, my God.
He's doing too much. First of all, he didn't ask me. Second of all, he just going in my drawer. He said he got it.
$5.
Look, $5. Cash says, did you ask?
I'm going to get 10.
No, you're not. He said he's going to get $10. Are you kidding me? Wow, this guy right here, that's what you call handling. He's handled his business and handled his mom. But I'm on air right now, you guys. But anyway,
I know.
For us and those that are serious about their shahad, I can't tell him no while I'm on the phone because he's going to have to come with a whole lecture and a whole bunch of other stuff that I don't have time for. But he didn't just handle me while I'm on air. But you guys who take our shahad serious, we know that the first condition of our shahada is knowledge against ignorance. So before we take our shahada, may we definitely seek out the knowledge. And I say that to say because, you know, I speak with people every day of the week. And, people always ask me about my faith. And, you know, the number one thing where the women is concerned, you know, should not be their concern. You know, they all about the information and, you know, anything that is informative. But when they finish, you know, listening and or, you know, getting as much as they want out of it, the first thing they say is, well, I mean, I get it and I understand it, but I don't know if I could do that, man having more than one wife. I mean, that is their first thing they say is they do not know about the man having more than one wife. But learn your religion. You know, it's based on conditions. Everything in Islam has been perfected for us. You know, if that's something that you cannot handle, a marriage is one half of your faith. But the first half is learning your faith, learning to understand your faith, learning the oneness of Allah, you know, really, you know, settling in your faith so you can be confident or comfortable in your relationship, inshallah. Sometimes we worry about situations and things in our where the religion is concerned, and it has no bearing on what is needed at the moment. So that is a lot of, you know, that I don't want to say frighten or push the people away from Islam, the women, but I find that some of them are the same women that, you know, express out of their mouth on their tongues, you know, my boyfriend is Muslim, which is very embarrassing and make us look bad in a hole because, you know, if you look bad, you make me look bad, you know, because we are mirrors of one another. So, yeah, know at least the basics of Islam, inshallah, you know, those five pillars, those 6-7 articles, inshallah, at least know them. If you study on them, especially, you know, Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you really understand or, you know, get the explanation on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worshiping of the unseen, you can really, you know, it gives you ease on everything else. I guess I'm guessing that is why the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, spent so many years on, you don't have shoes on. Now here comes the hair. Spent so many years on Tawheed, but definitely may we seek the knowledge. And I always say K-N-O. Yes, honey. Cassius has it. Now, they know I've been doing this show now for 7 years. I'm so happy you guys support me and realize the disclaimer that I throw out every week, inshallah, because this is how this day going. My brother just left right at the top of the hour. I'm texting the sheikh, you know, over and over and over from yesterday to remind him. He said he was definitely going to keep the state reserved. The sheikh, so far, he's not here. It seems like I'm winning the show. The ice cream man come, and that is like, yeah, so, okay. I guess this is how we're doing. Alhamdulillah, this is my reality.
What about Israel?
What about Israel? You spend the whole $5 on yourself?
I need
You need more?
I need $5 more.
No, you don't need $5 more. If you're going to spend $10 on ice cream, the answer is less.
No, Israel needs.
Yes, no.
You'll get $4 back.
No. You could get a $1, but no. Maybe someone you need a number. So I'll say get the knife. Get the knife. $10 on ice cream. So anyway, let's see who is this. Alhamdulillah. This is my reality. 4347, what is your reality?
It's last. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to thank you for sharing the Muslima reality in terms of the interaction with your children. Now, someone could have designed a, quote, a course, unquote, but I'm hearing a very calm voice, and I'm hearing that the interaction between yourself and your children, this is actually how you live, and they understand that they have to come up with something that is acceptable to you. You know, to permit people to come in on the actual fact, your actual reality, I believe is such a blessing. Because as I said, your concern for children, you know, your respect for your audience. And, you know, although people may feel, well, this is not conventional, but perhaps this is added to the new convention. In other words, how I actually live, actually handle problems, not how someone is telling me after the fact how they handle a problem. You're actually in the mix, you know, and the logic, you know, alhamdulillah. In other words, no.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, alhamdulillah. So, you know, again, thank you to people who are appreciating it, you see, and it's just letting us up, you know, and I don't hear them shouting at you, you know what I mean? In other words, you can't, I won't say you can't, but it's not very easy to program children on how they are going to respond. You know what I mean?
For
those people.
Yes.
Who have children that are screaming at them at the top of their voices, they know, oh, you know what? That's not really the way things are supposed to be. Maybe I better try to work on getting, you know. So it's just a lot.
Yes.
Allah is Allah, and He is most generous. You know, thank you.
Definitely.
Alhamdulillah. And I'll stop right there, and inshallah, go back to listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Yes. Thank you. Yes, alhamdulillah. I appreciate that. You know, because again, we just, again, this is reality. We are winging it in. My kids do that. That is why I put it in the disclaimer. But it's true how we interact with our kids with that subject changes. Because one thing I know with my kids, I've been brought up on a darker end of things, you know, and I'm so grateful that my kids do not know that life. So every day I use it to learn with my kids. Even if I come up short, I, you know, make sure, inshallah, I try to change it tomorrow. I just keep on, you know, pulling back, you know. I'm so animated with my kids because I keep saying, you know, that if I ask Allah to forgive me, I can forgive my kids. So I just constantly keep on reinventing the wheel with my kids, just constantly keep making memories, making moments, you know, always mentioning Allah because my kids are watching me and everything I do, you know, the ups and the downs, the ins and outs. Even when I get, you know, to those stop signs and them detours and those potholes, you know, I have to react a certain type of way because my kids are, I'm a reflection, you know, to my kids. So, you know, they have to know that, you know, I always say, you know, and I do a lot of dawah, a lot. And I always say, you know, to the believers, may we keep our faith, our gatekeeper. And with that being said, should we keep our faith, our gatekeeper, we know how to deal with any and everything that we are up against. And I'm not saying that, you know, situations do not arise and I don't, you know, become overwhelmed or be excited or, you know. But when I deal with my kids with the faith being my gatekeeper, my kids push it back off at me. You know, my son tells me if I get upset real quick, like, Mom, relax. You know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, when you become angry, sit down, and if sit down don't work, lay down, and if lay down don't work, make wudu. Now, Mom, I think you need to make salat, you know. So, hey, and what should you say? Because you're putting it in them. So you can't, it's no rebuttal when you bring it from the books, because that's where we come from. We come from the books. There should be no debate. But alhamdulillah, I definitely appreciate 347 for sharing it. You know, I know some. This is live, and again, this is real time, and I have small kids, so it happened like that, but I definitely appreciate you guys for being patient. And for you guys who are just tuning in, our guest, Abu Muhammad, I am so shocked. I'm really, really shocked about this. And anybody else, I would not be shocked about not showing up. I'm definitely I'm so serious. Anybody that I would not expect to be a no call and no show, I would definitely definitely not expect, you know, Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. Sheikh Khaled Yassin, to be a no call, no show. Let me check my messages. Okay. I've been text with no response, so I don't know what else to say. Let me let me try something else. I would call him. Let me see if I call him. See what he answers the phone. And if not, we just keep it with me. Hey, Abu Muhammad. Like, wow, like, seriously? Let me see. Hey, Sissy Debbie. Hello?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Okay, yes, I just got off the phone with him, so he, like, on another time zone, so he's getting ready to call in, inshallah. See what patience and persistence
do.
Oh,
alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
I knew the wires just got crossed, that's all.
Yes, yes, so he apologized. He's getting ready to push one, inshallah. So any minute,
yeah,
again, our guest, Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. Sheikh Khaled Yassin, is sharing. And our topic, Sissy Stuff and More. Again, you guys, the call-in number is 515-605-9891. That's the call-in number. One is the access code. Get your questions, your comments, concerns. I got high, deep love, salam. Hey, we'll take the complaints, inshallah. And we will address the issues, inshallah. So when Abu Muhammad, Brother Abu Muhammad, puts you on the phone, we will let him in, and we will talk about our stuff, girl stuff, sissy stuff, lady stuff, women stuff. Again, we are also talking about his stuff. Son of a Prince, that's after X, Malcolm X. Again, you guys that have been following the brother know, again, he is well-renowned. You can YouTube. I mean, Google him, YouTube. He has a lot of YouTube YouTubes on there. But you guys can definitely Google him and find him. He's been, you know, working hard for the Ummah for many years. Like I said, I've been following the brother for definitely over 20 years. So, alhamdulillah, been around long before me as far as in Dean and holding it down. So, again, we're waiting for him to push one on that phone. And then we will definitely get it started. Again, before he get on, because he was moving around, again, knowledge is the first thing we need to know, and that is the against ignorance. So know is in knowledge. Should we not know, we don't have the proper knowledge, inshallah. May Allah accept it from us. And again, we know certainty against doubt. So you guys, when you come into the folds of Islam, come in with certainty, definitely, with no doubt, you know, so don't wait for 12 o'clock and die at 11:59 trying to make your mind up or, you know, have rebuttals on why you still want to hold on to all the things that are not pleasing to Allah. Jump on in and then work on them. You know, it's okay. You know, no one's perfected. Only Allah is perfect, and Islam is the religion that he has perfected for us, inshallah. I'm trying to tell you it works. It works, okay, definitely. So, may Allah first, you know, make your intentions, you know, ask Allah, because truthfully, when I came into Islam, I was not going to be covered like that, and we definitely ain't giving up my food with the fasting, praying that many times. I seen someone praying the first time I seen somebody praying. It was, you know, had a box in front of them, so it blew me back. Like, what in the world? Is they praying to a box, you know, not knowing that it was the scripture that, you know, you put in front of you so people would not go or pass in front of you when you're praying. But when you're ignorant and have no knowledge, you're like, I know that it's not praying to that box, okay, because that's to never mind. But, you know, as you learn and grow and go with this way of life, you see that it's so simplistic, it's so beneficial, it's so, who feels it knows it. It's like a toothache. Who feels it knows it. I could tell you about Islam all day long. However, you have to get in to feel it and let it work for you. But we have to put in the work. Should we put in the work, Allah will definitely provide the results. You hear me, 50 Debbie? Like me learning how to swim at 51. Did you hear me? I said I put in the work. Allah provided the results. But we have to put in the work, inshallah. So no matter it doesn't matter how big. Oh, my goodness. What happened, little boy? Okay, something must have happened. He came down here with a little sour thing. What happened?
Oh.
It spilled? Okay, you say subhanAllah then, right? Uh-oh. Go clean it up. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, trust me, he's going to be there. He's going to circle back 1,000 times before the summer's over. Definitely 500, okay? How many days in the summer? How many days in the summer? How many days in the summer?
90 days.
Okay, well, he'll be back 90 times. Okay, come on.
Yes.
Yeah, give me cash. Just say subhanAllah. Allah took it from you. See, Allah gave it to you. He took it back. Look at your sister Sharon with you. That's so nice, big sissy. And then go clean it up. Make sure you use some water. Okay, speak yourself.
Did you save the drink?
She said, did you save it? Oh, that's so nice of you, Mom. Oh, that's okay. All right. Okay, let me see. I'm picking this phone. Okay.
That reminds me of the time when a sister said how much she liked my earrings, and I thought, you know, and I knew that she would like to have them, but I was like, you know, thinking, oh, I like these earrings. I really like them. And then, you know, inshallah, I was removing the earring that night, and it crumbled in my hands.
I am sorry.
And it crumbled in my hands. That's what this room. Oh, okay, you go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go, girl.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just talking.
Okay, so there we go, you guys. Let me see. 708. What's the reality?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You kind of far. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine, sister. Can you hear me?
I can hear you faintly.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's still faintly. I don't know why.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me better now?
Very clear, definitely.
Very good.
How are you? Oh, my goodness. Now, am I underarm?
I thank Allah, sister. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to pass out, but I know a Muslim word is better than cash in hand, so I was like, now, anybody would have let me down, I know it was going to be you. Okay, so,
well, man,
plan the Lord's the best of plans. I definitely thank you for accepting this invite. So, you guys who are just tuning in, we have our guest here, our brother, Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. many of you know him as Sheikh Khalid Yassin. Again, I've been following the brother for many years, so may Allah reward you for all that you do and, you know, grant you with not only success in this life, but better and definitely in the hereafter. Definitely have to say amen. So we are talking, as always, like I say, I reminded the listeners that you have an organization, the Purpose of Life Foundation. Again, it is a U.S.-based not-for-profit community service organization and has been visited, and has visited 89 countries. So that's a lot, facilitating more than 75,000 people and or persons. I'm definitely loving this, to embrace our Islam. So, and has helped raise over $15 million U.S. dollars for Islamic centers, schools, and global humanitarian projects, definitely in the last 30 years. So that's a lot. So, again, we are talking about Son of a Prince, which is the story of your life, Brother Abu Muhammad, and women issues and whatever the listeners have to ask and or deal with on this medium, we definitely welcome you. So before we go into the Q&A, since we're running into the hour, running down in the hour, would you like to say anything before I get to Q&A?
Yeah, just maybe just like to take a couple of minutes just to familiarize the listeners to the theme. You know, Son of a Prince After X is the title of my book and the title of the two-part documentary that we're working on. But the actual theme of our discussions is Islam, America, and the world. And we chose this theme because, you know, we need to think outside the box. It's not just about Islam. It's about us living in America and Islam and America. Secondly, Islam and America is part of a global community, a global phenomena. So we want to talk about Islam, America, and the world. And I just want to tell brothers and sisters that whenever we're talking about Islam, and when we're talking about Muslims, and when we're talking about ourselves as American citizens, we're not on this planet by ourselves. And we have to make sure that we're putting everything within the context, okay, of where we live in at. And we got to make sure that Islam fits where we live in and not that it fits somewhere else where it's been taught in the past.
Definitely. And it's so many things just going on, and that is a major topic and a critical topic that you had mentioned, Islam, America, and the world, because it's so many things that's going on in the world, the problems and the challenges, you know, with the pros and the cons, you know. So what are some of the challenges, the new challenges, because I listened to a live feed that you put out there on some of the challenges, the new challenges that are faced that we as Muslims are facing, not only in America, but I want to start with, you know, America and then around the world. What are some of the challenges that we are faced with?
Well, you know, one of the first challenges that we have to face is the challenge of identity. You know, we new Muslims, you know, we learned Islam, and may Allah reward all the people who helped teach us. We learned Islam from a lot of different people, Asians, Africans, and Arabs. I call them like the triple A. And I mean, that's great. May Allah bless them for whatever they've done, for their good intentions. But at the end of the day, Islam and America, this is our this is our dilemma. You know, this is where we live. This is where we were raised at. And we got to make Islam inside of America from our perspective. At the end of the day, people who immigrate got another place where they can go to. But we didn't immigrate. We were brought here a long time ago as slaves. And there's no other place for us to go to. So we have to make sure that Islam fits in the society where we are, and that we take advantage of the constitutional privileges that everyone else comes from everywhere else in the world that doesn't have those privileges that they are taking advantage of. So that's one of our challenges.
Mm-hmm. I've had another one of those challenges because I'm listening to people talk all the time. Why are we falling apart or being apprehensive with supporting one another? Because I find that in the African-American community that a lot of us, we're slow to support. We're making all these du'as and wanting Allah to help and assist us. But when it comes to, you know, needing or asking or help from others and assisting and supporting, we're slow. Like, you know, why are we falling apart? Why are we so apprehensive?
Well, you know, sister, it's part of the the ex-slave syndrome where African-Americans, we don't trust each other. You know, African-Americans, we always, you know, looking, you know, we always find in fault with each other, but we seem to find, we open our arms to other people. We're willing to imitate other people. You know, we're willing to follow the leadership of other people. But when we look at each other, we don't look at each other with integrity. You know, we don't look at each other with dignity. We always, you know, look at each other like crabs in the basket, and we got to get over that. And it's going to take some time. I don't know how many generations it's going to take. But it's going to take us some time, but that's one of the challenges, that we have to see each other with value that we have. We got to see each other with integrity. We have to learn to disagree with respect. You know, respectful disagreement is still sets up the premise of partnershiping, tolerance. And so these are some skills that we have to learn, whichever way we have to learn it. Because other people, we find out that other people have the same problems, but they are able to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christians get along with each other, even though they are miles apart in their ideology. You know, different Muslim groups from different countries, you know, they have differences, but they don't have a problem in spending money with each other. You know, we don't spend money with each other. We don't subscribe to each other's leadership. We don't apply dignity and value to each other. And I think that we have to have workshops and seminars where we talk about our issues of identity.
We do a lot of talking, though, because we know that the problems that we have in our community, we could just spur out all of the problems. But when it comes to solutions, we keep coming back to the same, you know, problem. The solutions is just it's completely being redundant in our problems. I mean, we know we have women issues. We have, speaking about that, the leadership. I find that our leadership is, you know, slack. And, for example, you can go to the masjid, and a lot of the masjids are closed during Salat time. You know, a lot of brothers have dropped the ball. They are the vanguard of the faith. I find that, you know, our brothers need to strengthen in the leadership department. And I say this to you, brother, because you've been holding it down for a very long time. What are some of the issues the brothers having?
Well, you know, sister, again, I don't want to make any excuses for us men, and I don't want to make excuses for the women either. I'm just going to say that I think we got to look at things in a very realistic way. And I don't want to even make excuses for the past, because we're living in the present. We have the opportunities, and we got the tools and the resources of the present. The bottom line is that if women are going to mosques where men are not allowing them or providing for them access to services or dignity, then women have to take the ball in their own hands. We're in America. You know, women have empowerment opportunities now, in some cases more so than men. And if Muslim women have to do it, whether they're single parents, whether they're single moms, or whatever the case might be, don't wait on men who themselves are socially dysfunctional and who have been trained by foreign elements. Don't wait for those men to do for you something that you need to do for yourself. And so, you know, again, I don't want to put the blame on anybody, but we have to start to addressing things in a very positive way. Religion does give people a sense of dignity, but religion by itself doesn't empower anyone.
That's right. That's right, definitely. So would you definitely say that it's the prophecy fulfilling itself? Because that's the first thing I do. When I say leaders keeping faith as my gatekeeper, I look at everything as with my faith first. So do you actually see what's going on in our Umar, the current events, things that's happening around the world? Do you definitely believe that it's the prophecy fulfilling itself? And that, again, goes with the sisters, the brothers, the leadership, and everything.
Well, sister, you know, when it comes to issues of prophecy, I'm not going to say I disagree, but that's not tangible. I like to look at things from a very tangible point of view. You know, if I've got a flat tire, that's not prophecy. That's probably, if I got a flat tire and I don't have a spare in my trunk and I don't have a jack, that's not prophecy. That's that I didn't prepare well. Okay, so I think a lot of times we might put excuses on things that are abstract, but I like to put things within the context of what's real. And I say that, you know, if you don't plan for yourself, somebody else is planning for you. If you don't plan for your children, then your children never be going to fall into somebody else's plan. So we have to learn how to plan. We have to, if we don't know how to plan, we got to be honest. And we have to ask some people to come into our communities and teach us how to plan. We can't keep consuming from other people and expect the people who are consuming to put back something into our communities. No. You know, all the people that we consume from, they build institutions outside of our community. And so we have to start talking about bread and butter issues. And this has nothing to do with the religion. This has to do with our own self-worth. And if the men are dropping the ball, it's probably because their fathers dropped the ball. And so, I don't think that it's just an issue of religious leaders. I think that people came into the religion with good intentions, and they're serving the religion with good intentions, but they're probably trying to eat soup with a fork.
Definitely, right, definitely.
It's
so,
the wrong thing.
If you wasn't taught, how can you teach? And I say that, you know, constantly. So, you know, you just mentioned the slave mentality. We're still holding on to that. You know, our pockets are full. But when I had mentioned the prophecy fulfilling itself, I was, you know, thinking about the homosexuality, the leadership, all of these things that's happening inside of us. our community, the leadership, the intoxicant, time playing, just a lot of those things. But now, when you're thinking about, you know, putting our assets together, you know, I'm just going to use the financial aid. A lot of us as African American, we have not been taught how to, you know, work, earn, save, invest. You know, we are spendthrift. We spendthrift by nature because we're so used to not having. When we get it, we spend. So we don't know how to make good investments, and that is why our communities are at a stagnant. I'm just looking at some of our masters, Abu Muhammad, that, you know, you're going to some of our inner city masters and the bathrooms are not clean, the doors are falling off. You know, again, you mentioned the Christians, they have manicured lawns and manicured churches. Of course, they deal in interest. But, you know, we are just not supporting one another.
Well,
we have issues.
My sister Kima, what I want to say to you, you know, again, you've outlined problems that we see very blatantly as we move around. But what I want to say is this here, is that, you know, religious people are not necessarily the people who's going to change that condition, okay? Business people can probably change that condition. So, you know, business people probably need to get together and build a mosque or create a community service center and manage it and bring in religious people basically to deliver religious services. We can't expect that people who themselves are not business-minded, they're not management-minded, they're not academic, they're not academically trained, they're not going to somehow bring about good management, okay, in some kind of an Islamic center. They're going to deliver the Friday Jummah. They're going to deliver the five prayers. They're going to deliver people, you understand, talk about, you know, divorce and marriage and other things. They're going to bury people when they die. They're going to advise people how to be spiritually sound and all of that there. But if they don't know how to take care of a building, they're not going to basically be able to do that. So I think that we got to change our mentality. One, we got to have people in the community that come forward and provide resources, even if they have to go and get those resources and partner with other people. Then they can go out and select religious people who've been trained, wherever they've been trained at, and bring them in to deliver the religious services.
Okay, but what about all of the professionals that we have amongst us in the community? I mean, if we band together with all of our, you know, alphabets behind our names and all of our technical skills that we have, we can really band together as a community. There's so many professionals within
our community. Our problem, Sister Karima, is that we don't belong. Generally, we don't belong to a chamber of commerce. We don't belong to a business association. We don't belong to a civic organization. And when people band together, they don't do it by luck. It doesn't happen by chance. They belong to civic associations. They belong to the Chamber of Commerce. They belong to business associations. And through those fraternities, they come together and put their money together and they make things happen. So we have to start to suggest that you and I have to do that with other business-minded, civic-minded, organizational and professional people to come together and consolidate our wealth, consolidate our resources, and to create environments, okay, that we can improve our situation.
Okay, I'm going to take 914, but I'm going to just say this before we go, because we have so many, you know, rifts in which amongst ourselves. We fight against this and we fight against that, failing in our lessons because they have to bring the religion in there, because the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he dealt with the non-Muslims alike as far as business and commerce. But I find that a lot
That's
of us get
right.
rebuttals to, oh, I'm not going to vote, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, because they cap as they non-Muslims, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And then they throw in, you know, do not take a friend's help us and or protect us, you know, non-Muslims. It says over the Muslims.
Well,
it says over the Muslims.
But I respond to it like that. They don't have any problem going to Walmart. They don't have any problem going to Sam's Club.
Right.
They don't have any problem
right.
going to the hospital.
Right.
They don't have any problem going to the welfare office. They don't have any problem going to the bank and depositing their money. They don't have any problem in getting buried in a non-Muslim graveyard. So that's double-standard and hypocritical. Okay. The Prophet did never preclude us from doing business with non-Muslims. Business is business, and religion is religion. We don't take our religious values from anybody, but we do business with people in the community, but we pick and choose the level of business that we want to do.
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm going to take 914. I see you there, 914. What's your reality?
Assalamu alaikum.
We
have to look at how we are looked at by other people. Matter of fact, we're insignificant to them. we are insignificant, insignificant innocents. That's it. And then so we have to look at it from that perspective. We got to raise ourselves up. There's just communities with alcoholism and every other kind of thing in it. Even if they bring it, they bring it to the masjid. There's no excuse for not people not knowing certain things to take care of a masjid. You got Handyman magazine, you got Mother Earth magazine, you got stuff all over the TV showing you how to do stuff. These guys, a lot of them don't want to do nothing. They think somebody's supposed to do it for them.
Well, you know, brother, I appreciate your bringing that point up, but I'd like to be very positive. You know, I don't want to dig a hole. You understand me? Because I don't think you can do much if you dig a hole unless you got a construction company in mind. But so I don't want to dig no holes. And I don't want to keep on beating a dead horse over the head. I would rather talk about what can we do to change our situation. What can we do to change our mentality? And in that respect, I personally, you know, I have some suggestions on what we can do. And I just stated some of those questions. You know, we can sponsor training programs. Okay, we can sponsor resources. We can set up, I mean, you know, in the black communities and the Muslim communities, in the masjids, we don't even have a candy store. You know, if we have a little school in our mosque, our kids got to go down the street to some Yemeni place, you know what I'm saying, just to buy candy. So this doesn't make any sense. Solve most of our problems. You know, we don't have to, in the neighborhoods where we are, if we want to feed people, I was just talking to one of my colleagues here, if we want to feed people, let's go down to the food bank and get qualified, and the food bank will provide us with food that we can distribute to people. We don't have to beg in order for us to feed other people. We can go to the food bank. That's how the Salvation Army does. That's how the YMC does it. That's how the Catholic Relief Services do it. They deal with the food bank. Why can't we? It's our mentality. I say that we have to get together and hold seminars and sessions on how we can do self-help and change our situation.
Definitely. Right. We have a lot of resources amongst us. Go ahead, brother.
You know, this is 2018. I don't see why in every state that there's some type of farm or something that's run by Muslims. We don't even, if we have to have an affair, we got to go to the county parks and stuff to do something. We shouldn't be in that position. In this area here, if you go upstate New York, almost every one of them other ethnic groups got their own place to go to. We don't.
You're right, my brother.
The gentrification that's going on in the New York area, these billionaires have came in and they just wiped out everything. And they bring in undocumented people to do all of the work. I mean,
this started
things started in the late 80s, Aki. We had six people working with us. We don't have nobody now because the gentrification and the knocked people out of their own trades. That's white and black.
Okay, brother, my brother, I think that you brought out some very good points. But again, the points that you're bringing about that we should be farming, producing our own so-and-so, we're talking about resource development. That's what we're talking about. Now, if we can't ourselves point to where those resources are, if we can't map something out, if we can't identify that, then all we're going to be doing is saying what other people did to us, and we can reach that syndrome has been there for years and years and years. I'm saying that, my brother, you and I should do the research individually or collectively and point out where those resources are. Instruct people where they can go to get those resources, not just say what people are doing to us. Go to the same place where other people are going. Let me finish, my brother. Go to the same places where other people are going. Immigrants are coming into this country, and they're going to resources. And that's how they're getting stores. That's how they're getting loans. That's how they're building their infrastructure. We have to do the same thing. And they're not complaining to us about what they went through in their country, and we should not be complaining about what they're doing to us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think what is happening is that we mismanage in our faith. I think we're in our faith with a narrow mind. And again, we're not referring it back to our faith. And I'm referring it back to the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. I meant, oh my goodness, he was impeccable. He was a businessman. So yes, he handled on all areas. So yeah, again, the resources amongst us, we have it, you know, but we're not putting it together. It's really like beating a dead horse because we haven't gone anywhere yet. We just keep chasing our behinds, keep going. We're never going to catch it because we keep complaining about the same issues and we haven't really developed anything. We're just standing still. So, again, the Lord will lead us with our own device. I'd just like
to add for your audience, you know, that a large amount of people who do nothing, basically, they just will basically exasperate a situation and a system, you understand me, to keep perpetuating it. But a few good men and a few good women who themselves become an example inside of their communities, they can help change something for the next generation.
Right. Do not give up. Do not give up. In other words, do not give up. I'm going to take a PSA, but we're going to come back with more Muslim Reality and our guest, Abu Muhammad, a.k.a. Sheikh Khaled Yassin. Thank you guys so much. Hold tight. Assalamu alaikum.
And Sansla.
Stop the music.
The imams are not to control the community. The people, the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad, and the good, sincere support and consensus of the people who follow that, they are to control this community. No imam is supposed to control the community. Have I tried to control this community?
No, sir.
So we're not to control the people. What goes in the community is the majority of the people. If they're supporting, let's go. Is it acceptable in the eyes of God? Is it what Prophet Muhammad approved? Then you should demand it of your people. Even me. Say, Brother Imam, God approves this. It is acceptable in the light of Quran, in the light of the Prophet Muhammad's life. It is acceptable. It is good for us. We need it. We all know we need it. Now, Brother Imam, what right do you have? You should be talking to me this way if I'm the one. Brother Imam, what right do you have to deny us this?
Assalamu alaikum. God's peace be with you. This is Mukhtar Muhammad, Executive Director for the Community-Wide Shura Conference, the parent corporation for American Muslim 360, inviting you to tune in to the next episode of Getting to Know the CWSC. This Friday, April 28th, for part two of an important national community presentation on building our national intelligentsia. I look forward to seeing you soon. Assalamu alaikum. There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7 Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you again, you guys, for holding. You are listening to Muslim Reality, powered here by American Muslim 360 Community Wide Shura Conference. I'm your host, Sissy Kaleem Abdul Rashid. We are talking our guest, Brother Abu Muhammad, Sheikh Khaled Yassin, for many of you guys that know and are very familiar with him. We have a open topic, and also we are talking about After Acts. He's going to give us more intels and details about that, son of a prince, that's After Acts. And we're talking about, again, whatever you would like to talk about. The call-in number is 515-605-9891. One is the access code. Press it. I will let you in, and definitely thank you in advance. But before we went to the commercial break, the last thing I said was we must continue to keep it moving, as an AKA, do not give up, because we know we have a lot of issues that's going on in our community. We need to stop talking about it, but definitely be about it, and we will see the results. Because definitely, Brother Abu Muhammad, should we not put in the work, Allah will provide the results. Because that's just a given. So again, we have so many issues going on in the community. You had, how was the conference the lecture that you had yesterday? How was that? What was that turnout?
Well, we did two things yesterday. One, yesterday we did a Facebook Live. Every Saturday we do a Facebook Live program on the theme Islam, America, and the world. And we usually have a very good turnout. We reach probably about 250,000 people. We have probably 25 or 30 thousand viewers every Saturday, mm-hmm. and we keep the theme moving forward to continue to discuss Islam and America and the world, you know, as a mm-hmm. general theme, and all the issues and problems and challenges that we have to face as Muslims living in America and in the modern world. The other mm-hmm. thing that we did yesterday is that we collaborated with an organization here in Cook County, Chicago, who has a brand new school, and we were able to raise about $150,000 for their school. So, you know, in one mm-hmm. day, I think we did a little bit of work to move a few things forward.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah. And you said, speaking about, you know, the work that you're doing and the collaborating on, you know, issues definitely here in America, you said, you know, outside of that, the world is a global village. Give us more details on that and why you say that.
Well, you know, fiber optics and telecommunications have now made the world a global village. You know, mm-hmm. no one's by themselves. You know, I can get on the phone today and I can call China and I can hook up to somebody in China in less than 30 seconds. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're not remote anymore. The only thing that makes us remote mm-hmm. is our thinking. The world is a global mm-hmm. village, and we have to understand that the world is in our front yard, it's in our backyard, and all the resources that we want are available on Google, on Amazon, mm-hmm. on eBay. I mean, anything that we want to get hold of, whether it is good things or bad things, we can get it from anywhere in the world. And it's up to us to use our discretion. It's up to us to use mm-hmm. the religious focus that God has given to us to bring to our mm-hmm. families and to our communities the best resources that are available. And I no longer accept mm-hmm. the excuses that I give myself, and I no longer accept mm-hmm. the excuses that other people give to me to limit me from mm-hmm. what I'm able to do inside of my community, for my family, inside of for my society, and to live in a dignified way as a Muslim should be living in America.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, I'm going to get back to the movie, because giving back, I want to know, you know, what's the pros and the cons about the After Acts, and give more intel. But I want to get to a sissy issue so you can give us some some explanation, and or maybe a little understanding, because, you know, we have women on here and they complain so much. But I want you to give some little understanding to, you know, the Hadith. But the first part, you know, a lot of women complain, and their number one complaint is the brothers, you know, and what they not doing, you know, and how they fail, and in their responsibilities, you know, they take the accolades and all the titles, you know, without the responsibilities. You have a lot of single mothers, you know, the masters falling apart. Again, you mentioned some, I mean, I could go on and on and on from our little space in the master and on Musella, you know, we are considered a subspecies. I'm just saying, I'm a woman, you know, but there's just so many issues. But then you have the Hadith that says that most of the inheritance of the Jahannam will be women. Can you give us a little tafsir on that? Because, you know, a lot of women, they scratch their head like, you know, why men? Huh?
I'm sorry, sister, can you just repeat that Hadith again?
That most of the inhabitants of the Jahannam will be, will be women. So, you know, you have women shaking their head. Why women? Why women? You know, men are dodging. I can only say, you know, but there's only one way in the world, and that's through the woman's womb. And, you
okay.
know, it's how
I think that we really got to put Hadith within the context of the religion. First of all, you may only find one or two Hadiths from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in which he said something like that about women. And
mm-hmm.
why did he say
mm-hmm.
that? He said that because
yeah.
he was passing through the mosque and he found women who themselves, okay, were gossiping and bickering and complaining okay, and he said that to them. It didn't really mean that he only said that to them, okay? Because if you look at all the body of hadith, there may be only one or two hadiths that the Prophet even said something like that about women. But he was talking to women when he said that. So we have to understand that the Prophet didn't mean, okay, literally, that the majority of people in the Jahannam, he didn't mean that literally. He meant that figuratively. And he was talking to women and telling them that women who are constantly complaining about their husbands, women who are constantly complaining themselves are ungrateful, and women who are always bickering and gossiping, it is a result, okay, of a sickness inside of themselves and their own habits. And because of that, they will land themselves in hell. That's a figurative statement. That wasn't the Prophet condemning women. Because if you look at all the other things the Prophet said regarding men and the inhabitants of hell and all the other things, it has to do with humanity itself. So I think that, you know, men could use that hadith to beat women over the head, but in reality, women could turn around, you know what I'm saying, and say that the Prophet said, okay, in another hadith, that the person who begs, the person who is not responsible to their family, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to throw them in the furthest parts of the hellfire. So we could just use hadiths back and forth on each other if we want to, but the thing is to take the essence of the hadith and see where it applies at. Look, who was the Prophet talking to when he gave that particular hadith? You know, in another hadith that I could refer you, some women came to the Prophet and they were complaining about their husbands were being abusive. And the Prophet, he said, these are not the best from among you. And he didn't say these men. He didn't say these women. He said, these are not the best among you. What did he mean? He mean those men that are abusing women, they're not the best from among you. And those women who continue to come and complain, they're not the best among you. So, you know, you can be sure that women who walk around always blaming their husbands, they're blameworthy themselves.
That was happy.
Otherwise,
that was
they wouldn't
happy.
Be, bringing, they wouldn't be bringing. They wouldn't be bringing their personal issues and their personal complaints and blaming their husbands in the public. They wouldn't be doing that because no dignified woman and no dignified man would be taking their personal issues out on their spouses in the public.
That's real heavy. I mean, again, you know, I say take your complaints to Allah, but then again, like you say, is where you at in your faith. You know, but again, when you talk about the women, you know, we are an individual entity. We have taken an individual pledge. This is not a group pledge. You know, you're not going to stand on the day of Yom Kiyama with your husband or your wife, you know.
That's right.
How do you give?
That's right.
You know,
Sister, that's right. Sister Karima, I want to just give you a little phenomena that our viewers have to take a look at. You know, there's a group of immigrants that came to this country called Somalis, okay? And I'm just mentioning this because I happen to have a very positive statement I want to make about some of the Somalis, okay? When you go to the places where the Somalis is at, you'll find that the majority, when you go to the places where they do business, you'll find that most of the people doing business with the Somalis, they're women. Women are doing business.
Completely.
Women are doing business.
Yeah.
You go to Somali places, Somali stores, it's women doing business. Now, these women in many cases are heads of households. Maybe their fathers, maybe their husbands were killed. Maybe their husbands were wounded. Maybe their husbands are socially dysfunctional, whatever the case might be. But those women are not talking about their husbands. They're doing business themselves, and they're doing honorable business. And they have come into our communities, the black communities, and they have set up businesses that our women are going and can't do the same thing. Why? Because our women, they don't have the same motivation. Our women, they don't have the same mentality. They ain't got the same survival techniques. And they ain't got the same dignity. You don't find Somali women, Pakistani women, Arab women. You don't hear them complaining about their men. You don't think they got problems inside their homes? Of course they have problems. But guess what? They're not going to lower their level of dignity to be talking about those problems in the public. So shame on our sisters to keep on. Shame on our sisters to be getting together, you know, talking about their men, complaining about their men. Okay, the mosques don't belong to the men. If the men won't do the job, you sisters open up a mosque for yourselves. You can't lead the prayers for yourselves unless you want to create a new religion. You can't lead the prayers for yourselves, but you can sponsor a mosque and you can find somebody who's more dignified, more educated to lead that mosque and to represent your interests. But don't keep on complaining about men as if men is your problem. No, men are not your problem. Your mentality is your problem.
Well, we definitely going to say men is some of the problem. We ain't going to
Unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, sister, look, we only have two genders. You know, male and female.
Yeah,
let's go to go with the LGBTQZ people. You know, that we only have two genders in America. You know, we got male and female, other than the LGBTQZ people. So, you know, so everybody can blame, women can blame men, and men can blame women. But usually when people are blaming, they're the most blameworthy themselves. That's what I want to say.
Definitely. So that's heavy. We could go on and on and on with this because, you know, we have so many issues. But I'm going to take a shift because we're down to a few minutes. Give us more information on After X. Give us some more intail on
After X.
Okay,
good. Thank you very much, sister, about that.
Okay.
Listen, sister and brothers, I want to tell you that I took my Shahada in 1965. I thank Allah to be guided into Islam. And I documented my travels and I documented my experiences and some of my lectures and some of my reflections over the years. And it turned out into over 2,000 pages of, like, writings. And so I'm having those writings organized into a book called Son of a Prince, you know, because Malcolm was the prince, according to Ossie Davis. Malcolm was the prince. So we of those of us who were born or came into Islam after the assassination of Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, we are the sons and daughters of that prince. Hence, the name of my writings or my book is called Son of a Prince. After X means 50 years of after Malcolm X. So this is what my book is named, Son of a Prince, After X. It's a two-part document, television documentary, and it's also a book, all of it being organized to come out and be published this year. Now, you know, what I'm talking about in this here two-part documentary, I'm not just talking about Islam, and I'm not just talking about, it has nothing to do with Malcolm X. May Allah bless him, okay, and forgive him and grant him paradise. It has nothing to do with him. It's the 50 years that happened after that. So I'm talking, first of all, I'm removing misconceptions and distortions about Islam and Muslims. Next, I'm making statements and evaluations that Muslims have not been able to do in the public, at least in the field of media. The other thing is that I'm giving perspectives, okay, on the major challenges facing humanity, not just challenges facing Muslims. You know, I'm talking about global warming. I'm talking about genetically modified foods. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about murder. I'm talking about poverty. I'm talking about, you know, the access to human services. I'm talking about moral perversion. I'm talking about the erosion of family. I'm talking about all of these issues in a way that I would think that Muslims would want to have the ability to express themselves. Because I'm an American and because Allah has blessed us with a platform and a freedom to be able to speak in America, then I'm taking the opportunity as a senior Muslim to speak about these issues as the son of a prince after X, okay, about Islam, America, and the world. So, you know, it's my book being prepared and organized, and it's also a two-part documentary. So I'm just asking for people to support it. I'm going on a road show in about, you know, probably before Ramadan. I'm going on a road show to cover maybe 10 cities in the United States of America. When I come to your city, if you want to sponsor this road show, we'll tell you how you can do that, because this book and this movie is for us. It ain't for me. It just happens to be a documentation in my name.
Yeah, subhanAllah. That's heavy. It sounds great, definitely. I want you to let the listeners know where they can find and follow you, and then give us some words of encouragement, something to push us to the dirt, inshallah. So first, where they can actually Google you guys, but I want you to let the listeners know where to find and follow you.
My sister, they can go to Khalid Yassin Official. That's my official Facebook page, and you know, there's about 6 or 7 people using my name on Facebook. And I'm not going to talk about whether they're wrong or right or anything like that. You know, but when you're a brand, you're out there, and people can kind of ride on your back and ride on your brand. But if you want to go to and hear what I have to say, Khalid Yassin Official. So we have Khalid Yassin Official YouTube, Khalid Yassin Official Twitter, Khalid Yassin Official Facebook, Khalid Yassin Official Instagram, Khalid Yassin Official Tumblr. So you can go anywhere, Snapchat, all that, we're there. That's one of the places. Then you can go to www.sheikhkhalidyassin.com or www.skypurpose.com, or you can email us at skypurpose.com. These are all the ways you can get in touch with me, and I don't want to give you my personal home phone number because then I'm get inundated with a whole bunch of calls from pretty women.
SubhanAllah. And I tell you, I wasn't reaching you at the top of the hour, so I think I went to all the official and unofficial sites, but alhamdulillah, you made it, so definitely.
Sister Kareema, may Allah bless you. Sister May Allah bless you, bless your staff for the work that you are doing. And anytime you call me, sister, even if it's the middle of the night, if you got time to talk to me, I'll have time to talk to you and your audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Now, I need you to give us some words of encouragement, some push hashtag to the dirt. We need it, inshallah. What you got for us?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, you know, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Al-mu'minu qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ilallah min al-mu'minu da'if. What that basically means is that the strong and resourceful believer is better and more beloved in the sight of God than the weak one. That means that, you know, we Muslims shouldn't be begging and subordinating ourselves. No, we need to be dignified. We need to be standing up on our own and not, you know, some expressing public complaints to other people about our situation. Because Allah has put us here in America, and He has blown Islam to America, and He's blown the people out of the Muslim countries into America, and we're already here. So I feel really positive. You know, I don't feel negative. I feel very positive. I have a good outlook for the future for Islam in America, and I want to share that message with the rest of the Muslims.
Definitely. I appreciate that so much. May Allah bless your endeavors. Much success. I definitely appreciate you. Again, I've been following you for years, okay? When you was in Australia, I mean, again, this movie, After X, you know, again, is about your life. Like you said, you didn't document it. Like you said, you could write a couple books, I'm so sure. But, you know, may Allah bless your endeavors. And I'm continuing to follow you. I make dua for you. As a matter of fact, all of my Umar, I love you guys for the sake of Allah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you again.
Yes, may Allah continue to bless your endeavors. And what's coming up next? What's happening with you next? Because you're multitasking. What's going on?
Well, sister, you know, I just also want to tell the brothers and sisters who want to make Hajj, you don't have to tag along with other people. You don't have to tag along with Arabs and Asians and Africans, although those are our brothers and sisters too. But you can go to uhajj.com. Okay, that is you, like the letter U. Uhajj, the letter U, HAJJ.com. And you can make Hajj and Umrah with us. We'll give you better services, and we will allow you to make Hajj without the drama and without the trauma and without being exploited. And secondly, we can translate into any language that you want. So you don't have to go to Mecca and go to Medina with other people just because it's a Muslim country. You can go with us because we've been to Hajj 15 times, so we know how to move back and forth. So let's do that together too.
And that's wonderful. Oh, my goodness, that would be wonderful. So you say uhajj.com. Definitely.
Uhajj.com.
You guys put it in. Take a note of that, definitely. Yes.
Now, the other thing, my sister, is that, you know, like, we all using phones every day. We're using phones, and we're using other people's phones. But there is a Sky phone now that's available. Sky, S-K-Y, phone. So you can go to the Internet right now and look up the Sky Devices. And you can go there. Anybody can go there right now. Sky Devices. That's our brand. Sheikh Khalid Yassin. You know, Sky, S-K-Y. Those are our phones. Now, we're not marketing them in America directly right now because our strategy is to market them first in Africa, get the money, build our brand, then come back to America. But we got our own phone. We got our own water, Sky Water, that's being distributed in Dubai and other places. So we're not just like sitting down waiting for somebody to bring us something. I'm just one man. I'm just one stone, one brick in the wall, but I'm doing everything that I can do as a African American Muslim OG. I'm doing all that I can do in the time space the Lord gave me, and I'm telling you that if we work together, we can produce our own products, our own services, and all of that there, and we don't have to be complaining to other people. We can do what other people have done because we live in one of the best countries in the world.
Definitely. So much. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. We're down to a few minutes. I'm just going to get up out of here again. I appreciate it. Again, this is your third time here. Do you remember? Do you remember being
here? Yeah, I remember, sister. May Allah bless you. Hey, listen, sister. Sister Kareema.
Yeah.
Listen, I just want
Kareema,
to let everybody know.
Look.
Oh, Kareema, Sister Kareema, you also, Sister Kareema, you're also a Kareema, too. May Allah bless you for that.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yes, I'll take it. I'll take it. Yes, I appreciate it. Definitely. I'll take it. Whatever.
Thank you so much, sister.
Karima, Halima. Yes, thank you so much. If I don't meet you,
thank you, sister. May Allah bless you.
It is in the jala. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Sambara.
Yes. Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you guys for holding. I appreciate our guest as always. May Allah reward, bless, suffice him. Again, he's constantly moving. You guys, again, Google him, Sheikh Khalid Yassin, a.k.a. you know him as Abu Muhammad. Again, I've been following the brother for so long. I appreciate you guys listening to Muslim My Reality. Our next Sunday show is an open topic. You guys, again, can continue to follow me on the book. Just Google me. I'm not as big as him, not even a teeny bit, okay? I'm a grain of sand over here. But appreciate you guys. Continue to support AM360, Muslim My Reality, Community by Shore Conference up next today towards the Model Muslim Community with host Hamid, Brother Hamid Habib. Again, we appreciate you guys for supporting. Continue to hold. Thank you, Sissy Debbie, as always. Definitely love you guys for the sake of Allah. May the one who caused me to love you love me back. Hold tight, chin up, keep it moving. Don't give up. May Allah answer supplication. Put in the work, Allah will provide the results. We're out of here. Thank you again so much. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.